Now, I'm going to say this phrase, and for some of you, I know it's going to get you a little excited, get you giddy. But when you hear the words, do-it-yourself project, there are, yeah, right, someone just raised their hand. There are probably some in here who are like, yes, get me going on that. What is it, right? Let me, how long is it going to take? What's the project? In fact, some of you may be thinking in your head, or if I were to tell you while you're sitting at your recliner at home, you may even think about getting up and heading to the garage or going to the tool shed to figure out what tools you're going to need for this project. Now, on the flip side of your excitement is my horror. When I hear the word do-it-yourself project, a chill runs up my spine. Better yet, when I hear the word DIY, I break out into cold sweats. Because generally what happens with any kind of project when it comes to me is one of two things. First off, the allotted time that the project is supposed to last always lasts about a month longer. So if the allotted time says this should take you 2 days, it's going to take me 2 weeks. If it says it's supposed to take a month, it's going to take me a year. It's just what it is. Or the second thing that happens is this. I will complete the project. I will look at the project. And then I will look at the ground. And what's on the ground are a couple pieces of something. And you look at the project, and you look at the pieces, and you look at the project, and you look at the pieces, and you think to yourself, those matter. But if you do what any good person does, you pick them up and you throw them in the trash and pray that they don't. This is me. Or the other thing that happens is I think that I know more than the instructions, which if you know me, I know nothing more than the instructions, but I think I know more than the instructions. So I will try to do it myself, and inevitably what happens is me and my loved ones get in an argument, and nothing good comes from that. I mean, this is just what it is when it is a project and I begin to think about it. But we live in a DIY type culture, right? You can't not look on the internet. You can't watch TV and see these DIY projects being shown. And I watch them, and when I watch them, I'm always amazed at how easy it is for them to do it. There's absolutely no problems with anything. But what you don't see is they have all of the production staff behind them who are doing it for them and with them. And that's just not fair to expect that on me. But it's our culture. And this has gone even so far into the church culture. So the other day I was Googling. I just decided to Google DIY church just to see what would come up. And things came up, right? So what I found was this. You have the do-it-yourself house church. That's right. You can do it by yourself. Make a house church. The do-it-yourself, what is it? The do-it-yourself church unity. That one's interesting to me. Do-it-yourself church unity. And my other favorite was the do-it-yourself guide to life. You can do it all by yourself, right? Just a few things here and there. And what I began to realize as I looked at this is we have become pretty proud of ourselves, haven't we? We think we can do it. We got this handled. It's even gone to church. We can make our own church. It's not too difficult. We can figure out church unity. How's that been going for us? But we can figure out that. And this is kind of what we live in. And it brings us to our text in Ephesians 4. Over the last few weeks, we have been in this study of Ephesians we've called Rooted. What does it look like for the church to be rooted in Christ? And last week, we looked at Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, where Paul speaks of this idea, this reimagining of the church and re-imaging it into the image of love, right? The church is supposed to be an image of God's love. And so today, there are some implications to that. It's going to look a certain way. It's going to feel a certain way. The church is going to be this. We're going to act different. And a few verses before, as Paul said that, so we went a little bit backwards, Paul kind of gives us an idea. He gives us some implications to this. And so read with me Ephesians 4, starting in verse 25. So then, putting away falsehood, let us speak the truth to our neighbors, for we are members of one another. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not make room for the devil. Thieves must give up stealing. Rather, let them labor and work honestly with their own hands, so as to have something to share with the needy. Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only what is useful for building up as there is need, so that your words may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with which you were marked with a seal for the day of redemption. Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ has forgiven you. Reread that last part of verse 25. For we are members of one another. In a do-it-yourself culture, it's as if in this text, Paul says, you can't do it by yourself. You're gonna need people. And in a do-it-yourself culture, in which the I, ourself, has taken precedent over others, Paul, in this text, says the church is going to look a different way because the church is not going to be about itself, oneself. It's going to be about everybody. And so Paul opens verse 25 in that last part with, for we are members one to another. And then I like how he ends this kind of section of text in verse 32. He says what? He says, be kind to one another, tenderhearted and forgiving one another. So Paul has an idea that this congregation that is being formed into the love of God will look a certain way. And how it will look is people who are there for one another, not there for themselves, but there for the person who's sitting next to them. What I've also noticed in the DIY culture is what we have struggled with is asking for help. I don't know, maybe you're good at it. I'm awful at it. But we seem to struggle with asking for help. We think we can take care of this problem. We think we can carry this baggage. Nobody else needs to know about this. Nobody else needs to worry about this. This is all on me, so I will take care of it. And that attitude goes into the church as well as we think about, well, what kind of church? Well, this is what I want the church to look like, right? This is what I want it to be like. And when we get in that mentality where the church becomes our project, right? It becomes our do-it-yourself project, and we try to do it by ourselves, what we realize somewhere along the lines is when we're done with what we think is the church in my image, there are pieces on the ground. And we look at what we built, and we look at the pieces on the ground, and we look at what we built, and we look at the pieces on the ground, and we realize, if we read the Apostle Paul, that he says, those pieces on the ground are just as important. You cannot read Paul, especially in 1 Corinthians, and not see in 1 Corinthians 12 and in 1 Corinthians 13, Paul is trying to get the Corinthians to realize that all are important. You are in this together. And Paul says, for us to begin to be rooted in Christ, being formed in God's love, then the community that is rooted in Christ will be for the person sitting next to them, will recognize the person sitting next to them. So we go from a community and a congregation that is all about me, right? It's all about me. It's all about what I want. To a congregation that is all about we. It's all about us. Because if we read what Paul is asking of us here, if we really look at what Paul is asking for us of us in verse, going from verse 25 to verse 32, speak to your neighbor in love. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. If you have something to say, make sure it is for building up the person next to you, not tearing them down. And those who are living the life of stealing from others, Paul says, recognize you're stealing from others and begin to do something. Why? So that instead of stealing from the person next to you, you can open up your hands and help the person next to you. Why? Because Paul, it says, it's not about you. It's about the fact that we are in this together. And so, if we want to be a congregation rooted in Christ, then we are going to have to be for the person sitting next to us. And we're going to need that person sitting next to us, because what Paul is asking of us is really, really hard. Let's be honest. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Okay, I failed on that a few days ago. Let's just be honest, right? Say, let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth. Build people up. I failed on that a few days ago. It's as if Paul knows, yeah, it's going to be hard. But the good thing is it ends in verse 32, you're going to have a group of people around you who are going to forgive you. You are going to have a group of people around you who are going to be kind to you as you go through this. Why? Because the same expectation is of you to them when they struggle with it as well. Paul is saying, you are not in this together. To be formed into the image of God and into the love of God is to recognize that we are in this together as a congregation. Because if we think we're not, then we are not a congregation rooted in Christ. We are a congregation rooted in 300 individuals, which means we are all going to be pulling in a lot of different directions. And yet Paul says, you're not. Because if you look just a few verses earlier, as we're struggling with, what does this look like? How do I do this? Do you know the person who's sitting next to me right now or across the row? I mean, that's hard, Paul. What does Paul say? Starting in verse 20 of chapter 4, he says, let me give you what's going to bring you together. That is not the way you learned Christ. For surely you heard about him and were taught in him as truth is in Jesus. You were taught to put away your former way of life, your old self, corrupt and deluded by its lust, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to clothe yourself with the new self, created according to the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Because of this, he says, so then you can do this. So what does Paul say is our kind of, what levels the playing field for us to look at each other? Is it not being about me, but being about the person sitting next to us? Paul says, I'll tell you what changes the playing field, your baptism. Your baptism changes the way that you do things. The church then does not become about you. It becomes about the person sitting next to you. Why? Because you share the baptism of Christ. Because you were clothed in Christ. So, therefore, it's not even about you trying to change your ways, because how many of us many times have made our own selves a do-it-yourself project, trying to make ourselves better, and we struggle with doing it that way as well. What Paul is telling us, though, that is, it's not even going to be about you changing yourself. It's going to be about Christ changing you. And that's what we have to realize. It is not our game. This project that we're in, called the church, is God's project, right? It's God's thing. And that's the beauty of it, is if that this project is rooted in Christ through the Holy Spirit, then Paul says there is potential. There is power to be different than what the world says to be different, because we live in a society that does say it's all about you. We live in a society that says, you want to worry about people? Then worry about people who are like you. Worry about people who act like you. You know, worry about them, because they're easier to deal with because they're like you. And Paul seems to be saying something completely different. Paul's like, that's what the world says. But the church rooted in Christ, the project of God, is going to be the alternative. You're going to see people worrying about one another. You're going to be seeing people love one another in such a way that you can speak truth to them in love, which he says in a few verses earlier in chapter 4, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way. How is that going to happen, Paul, that I can speak truth and love to people? It's going to happen because God is doing something. It's going to happen because you're going to be worried about the person sitting next to you. And you're going to be able to speak truth and love and then walk alongside that person as you speak truth and love. You're not just going to point their problem and say, you're the problem, and then walk away. You're going to be able to, being in relationship, you're going to be able to have the conversation and walk alongside the person. Because Paul says, your baptism does this. Your baptism changes the way you view relationship. And the congregation is, kind of the, I'm trying to think of the word now, lost it, laboratory for it. If we can do it with one another, think about it. If we can do it with one another, which, by the way, a lot of times it's hard for us to do it with one another. If we can do it with one another, then we can do it outside these doors as well. And Paul says, to be a congregation who imitates God, which we read last week, it's going to be a congregation that has to be God to one another, that has to be Christ to one another. I'm always struck by John 14. And in John 14, verse 9, the question is asked to Jesus, when can we see the Father? You know how Jesus answers? They say, when can we see the Father? And Jesus says, to see me is to see the Father. Paul in the baptism says, in our baptism says, in this you are clothed in a new self, becoming like, he says, self according to the likeness of God. We are becoming like God, and our baptism is the start of it. And Paul has to say, you want to see God? I think Paul a lot of times says, look at the church. You want to see God? Look at the church. Look how they care for one another. Look how they carry each other's baggage for each other. Look how they listen to each other. Look how they're willing to give themselves up for the person sitting next to them. I think Paul believes, if you want to see God, you'll see the church. But this is all difficult. It's still hard. We still want to make the church our do-it-yourself project. We still want to make ourselves a do-it-yourself project. And Jesus says, let me be the project manager. Because if you let me do it, if you let me work inside of you, then you won't let pieces fall on the floor. In fact, the pieces that you see on the floor, you're going to go reach down, pick them up, lift them up, and carry them where they need to go. We're going to invite them in. A church that does this, a congregation that roots itself in Christ, a congregation that realizes that they are for the person sitting next to them and not for themselves, becomes a place that is almost infectious for others. It attracts others. And that's always a hard word for me to use, but it attracts others in. Why? Because I believe that deep inside of all of us, there is a yearning for this kind of relationship. There is a yearning to be loved. And not be loved by someone saying you have to be this, but be loved just by who they are. And that you can walk with them. And that you can have conversation with them. And that you can have lunch with them and dinner with them and become that. I believe that that is inside of everyone and they yearn for it. And Paul says that is in the church. Be that. So if the church really wants to be the church needs to learn how to lean on one another. We have to learn how to lean in to our baptisms. Because when we do that, friendships are transformed. Marriages are reformed. And we become more into the image that Paul is talking about. When we realize that we are for one another, when we realize that it matters, the person sitting next to us, that their life matters to us, I think Paul is saying that's where the church begins to become God. And so what we close with this The church is not a place where you have to carry baggage alone. It's not a place where you have to carry anger alone or sadness alone. It's not a place where you carry your sins by yourself. It's not a place where you feel shame. Instead, the church is the place where you can come lay it down. The church is the place where we state to you, we will carry it with you because we are for you. It's not a church is not a do-it-yourself project which I'm trying to build. It's not a do-it-yourself project that you're trying to build. It's a do-it-yourself project that God is building. And what we claim today is that you're not in this by yourself. Church, the church rooted in Christ proclaims that you are loved and that we are here for you.